What is up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here, joined by my dear friend and colleague, Bobby Attico of Hank Lane Music. We get into all things wedding-related, including Bobby's journey from literally living in a car to becoming one of the nation's most sought-after bands. It is truly a moving and motivational story. So without further ado, I bring you the man himself, Bobby Attico. What is up, everybody? I'm joined by my boy, entertainer, Bobby Attico.
What's the one going and only on? Man.
For those of you who don't know him, crawl out from under that rock. Because you're under a rock if you don't know what he does. So I got to blow you up now. Man, Bobby and I go back, I think it's, we were talking about 15 years now.
Yeah, minimum.
All right. And I think what's great is, you know, I've seen the rise, the meteoric rise, right? It wasn't really meteoric. It took 15 years. But now you look at it and you're like, oh, shit, you know.
We've done a lot.
You know, and to pay your kudos here, your band is the shit. Like, I truly feel when I see you guys perform, it's not a wedding band. You guys are a band that just performs at weddings.
I appreciate that.
And I think
that.
There's a difference that people should know about. And, you know, you've gone from doing regular weddings to doing the highest end weddings, I would say probably now in the United States. You guys travel around the world. Every time I'm on Instagram, you're playing some really nice place. You work with the creme de la creme. And I see it on my end because I have people who come into my office and I'm like, what's your wedding date? And they'll be like, December 1st. I'm like, why'd you choose December 1st? They go, well, that's the day Bobby was available.
Wow.
And I'm sure you see that on your end. I know you're being kind and humble.
It still floors me, though. It still floors me. I'm like, when people change their wedding for my availability, it blows my mind.
Straight up, I hear it on my end. So I'm gonna you know, to all the brides out there, book your wedding with Bobby, because he gets booked up quick.
Real quick, quickness.
So I know you're with Hank Lane.
Yes. Right?
So they rep you. But you've really built yourself as a brand within their brand.
That's true. So I have my own company, Golden Child Artists, and basically I just got to the point where I wanted to do my own thing, but I'm also loyal to the people who helped me get started. So we partnered up and we're doing it together, but Golden Child Artists, it's my baby.
All right, man. Well, I want to get into Golden Child, but before we touch that, I want to talk a little bit about where it all started, right? So going back 2001, graduating college, you're like, shit, all right, I need to start a wedding band?
Well, I was graduating and I thought to myself, I don't want to get a 9-to-5. It's not in my blood. I was working mortgages and singing on weekends. And I thought to myself, I went to school for music. Why wouldn't I follow up in music? And the weekend I quit my mortgage job, I actually saw Harris and he asked me, and he's like, Bob, do you know anyone looking for a job in the music industry? And I'm like, I just quit yesterday. You're asking me today. So I thought it was just like perfect timing.
All right. And that was your entry into the industry.
That was my entry into his band. I was already in the industry. This conversation happened like around 2003.
Okay. So you were already doing this.
I was already with Jeff Lubin.
Okay. So you were already with one of the bands and then that came in. But prior to Jeff Lubin, college.
Yeah, college. Just, I think I was working at Lord & Taylor.
Damn, bro.
Folding sweaters. I could fold a mean sweater.
That's where the style fashion comes
from. That's where it started.
That's where it started. So then 2003, you're with Harris Lane, the band who, you know, people in the industry know Harris Lane.
No, he's up there.
Band is up there, you know, not just dollar-wise, but prestige-wise. Yeah. You know, Plaza Pierre, best venues
everything
around. At what point were you like, all right, Harris, I love you, bro, but I need to shine on my own here?
It's funny. I didn't even want to become a band leader. Harris and a few other band leaders came to me and they were like, we think you should start your own band. And I'm over here. I'm like, me? No way. I'm just a singer. I just want to run around, have fun. And they sat down and spoke to me. They were saying that basically everyone loves your energy and your just the charisma. So we think you should take it serious and think about starting your own band. And at first I dismissed the idea, and a couple of weeks I thought about it and I went back and I was like, tell me more about this idea you have.
And that was it.
That was it. And
that's
we
simple.
Started. They actually said the first 3 years we were going to suck. And then after that, we'd get better. But the first year out, we started getting callbacks right away.
Immediately. So they saw something in you that you at the time hadn't seen in yourself?
No idea I would be doing this. No idea it was even possible.
At what moment were you like, oh shit, I'm onto something?
I'll let you know when it happens.
Really?
It still hasn't hit
me. Still hasn't hit you.
I'm still, to me, I just.
That's why everyone loves you.
I guess, because to me, I'm still going out there and I'm hungry and I just want to have fun. And I feel like what I've noticed is if I have fun, then the band has fun and then the guests have fun. And there'd be a few events at the beginning of my career where I'm a little uptight and I notice everyone's uptight. And I realize I control the vibe for the band, and that controls the vibe for the party.
Yeah, I think it's what's really interesting is we talk about it on the show a bunch is creating a culture within your company. So you kind of have two companies. You got the Hang Glenn umbrella, but then it's really Bobby Atigo's, because you spend, you know, I would say just for as much as I work with you guys and as much as I see you guys out together all the time, you spend more time with your band. That's really your second family in a lot of ways. The other thing I've noticed is you have the same band people forever. No one's ever left. You know, it's like a cult. Once you get into the Bobby Atigo badge, you never walk out
for life.
So it's got to be for two reasons. One is they love you as a boss, as a band leader, but you've obviously built an environment where people are thriving and they're happy and they're doing their passion.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, like you said, they are my second family. The way I see it is, I'm never going to ask anyone to do something I wouldn't do myself. It's funny, one of the sound guys, he was a Paul Richards, his son, and I saw him at an event and I didn't know he was Paul Richards' son, so I'm helping him put a speaker up because I see him struggling. And later on, I found out he was Paul Richards' son. And he goes, "You didn't even know who I was and you came over to help me." And I didn't realize it at the time. He said, "That's the difference between you and a lot of the other people that do this. Like, I don't think I'm above anything. I'll get my hands dirty. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure the event goes right."
You don't view yourself as the talent.
I'm the talent, but I'm also a team player. Yeah. So whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. And I think the guys respect that. And like you said, we hang out all the time. Last week, Wednesday, they all just showed up at my office and they were like, "As soon as you're done, we're going to drink." And I'm like, I don't have plans. It doesn't matter. So we are a family. I love those guys.
So it's interesting because I usually think I'm the hardest worker in the room, except when I'm in the room with you. So I'll be honest with you. I'm always like, "Man, I thought I worked hard, but Bobby really does work. Bobby really works hard." It's obvious that you work so hard because you become so successful doing what you're doing. But what still drives you? Because you just talked about, you haven't realized how big your band's gotten or how big the name has gotten within our industry.
I think what drives me is just the hunger to keep getting better. I'm not one of those people that can be complacent and think, "Oh, I've arrived, so I could chill." I'm always like, "What's next?" To me, I'm always like, "What else can I do?" Which is how the capes came up. And sometimes I'm doing lasers. No one's seen that yet. I've only done it on one event, and I have gloves that shoot lasers out everywhere. So, yeah, I know it's insane, but I don't know. That's just me. I always want to go to the next level as far as showmanship, as far as the performance, as far as keeping the audience on their feet.
So you talked about building your own brand in Hang Glenn and Golden Child, right? And I think a lot of the times you and I have discussed growth, right?
Yes.
I feel like we line up in aspirations. You know, we always want, how are we going to get better? How are we going to do bigger jobs? How are we going to provide for our families 20 years from now? Right?
Yeah.
When we're not
100%
cool and young anymore, right? When we're in our 60s, what's the next level, right?
Yeah.
And I think in our industry, at least, a lot of people, and I know you see this on the entertaining side, I see it on the photography side, is you do really well in your 20s, 30s, early 40s, and then all of a sudden, you're just not that cool band anymore.
Yeah.
And then the 50s and 60s come around, and all of a sudden, the brides are looking at you like you're their grandfather, and you're not cool. And all of a sudden, your business that was making really good money is making no money.
Yep.
And you spent all that money in your 30s, and now things aren't good.
Yeah.
So I know that you've had a vision, right? And you want to set yourself up in a specific way. And I think the interesting thing that you did is you said, "I'm going to stay loyal to the people who helped me out. I'm going to stay loyal to that company. I just want to grow within that company." Yeah. And that's how you started your own brand, which is Golden Child.
100%. So just like you just paraphrased, I started my own company because I did have the vision. Like you said, in 20, 30 years, people aren't going to want to see Bobby Atigo on stage, still giving it his all, but your all still won't be that much at that age. So I figured I'd do exactly what Hang Glenn did and start bands underneath me. But these bands are a little different. When people hire me, they hire me because I'm out of the box. I'm not the norm. So if I'm not available, who else is there? So I decided to make bands that were just like me as far as not the norm. So if you want the typical, you know, wedding band, something like that, you can find that anywhere. But if you want something unique and special, something that stands out, that's Golden Child Artists.
And within that, so if I'm a potential customer or party planner that you're working with, are they still calling Hang Glenn for that? Or
they're still calling Hang Glenn. Hang Glenn is still the agent manager. It's just a separate entity within the bigger enterprise.
Gotcha. So that's just, I'm hiring, let's say, Band X from Golden Child. Everything still works the same.
Same thing.
All right, cool.
I think the letterhead on the contract is different, but other than that, it's the same.
What's the biggest hurdle you found now that you're not just dealing with your immediate team on day of, but now you've expanded out?
Keeping up with everything. It's a lot. And it's funny, I used to just go into the office maybe one or two days a week. And now I find I'm there 9 to 9 some nights or some days. And that would be, thank God I'm still not there 5 days a week, but sometimes I'm there 4 days a week.
On top of gigs on Saturdays.
On top of the events. So I might have Friday, Saturday, Sunday at an event. Then I come back in Tuesday all the way to Friday and
do it again.
Yeah.
And for people who haven't seen you live, I would be curious as to what's your caloric burn at LA?
Is everyone asked me that? And so actually yesterday I just bought a Fitbit.
All right, cool.
Just so I could see what it is.
I'm curious.
I'm curious too. Everyone's like, yo, you have to burn at least 20,000. I'm like, that's a lot. But you never know. The way I go, I lose my mind. So
one thing you and I always chat about is that right before you're on, we always talk about expectations, right? And how clients' expectations, planners' expectations have changed as our businesses have changed. So what we did 2 years ago is no longer good. And what we're going to do today is we have to keep raising that bar.
Yep.
How have you done that?
I definitely feel I have. I think my expectation exceeds whatever anyone else can place on me. I'm always just, again, looking to evolve, looking to go to another level. So even if you're telling me I'm doing great right now, to me, it's still not good enough. I'm like, there's still more. There's definitely still more. So I think I exceed the want for increasing my talent and my performance more than anyone could ever place on me.
That's awesome. I think I see it. You know what I mean? When we're on jobs, I see that elevation. I see the effort you put in and it comes through. And I think the clients see it as well. You know, so that way when they're at that wedding and now all of a sudden there's lasers being shut off, they say no.
Like, here it goes again.
But it's got to be hard to constantly keep doing that, though, because you're always setting that bar higher now.
It is, but it also isn't, because it's funny. I feel like I have two personalities. I have the business side and the creative side. And when you're creative, it's just second nature. It's not something that you harp on too much, because you'll just get the idea. The hard part is actually executing the idea. So even with the lasers, now I have to talk the clients or whoever into getting a fog machine so that it looks as sick as I've envisioned. And they're like, why do I need a fog machine? And so they see it and they're like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
So the creativity isn't a problem. It's more of the execution of my crazy ideas.
Now, I know we've also talked about keeping teams happy, right?
Because yes,
as one of the big things, and I know I struggle with this as well, is people see the weddings becoming better and they instantaneously think that you and I as business owners, that our incomes have quadrupled while those weddings have become bigger. And it's an interesting myth. I always laugh because mm-hmm. they go, but you know, we're at the Pierre instead of at X. I'm like, that's great. They're not paying us 5 times more.
Yep.
We've gotten some raises.
Yeah.
You know, we now charge our clients more. But for people as business owners, our peers in the wedding industry, sometimes the people on our teams don't necessarily understand that also, well, yeah, we're doing more, but we also spend more. We got new costumes.
Exactly.
We got new tuxedos. We got new machines for us, new camera equipment. We reinvested back into the company. It didn't go in my pocket.
100%.
I like to tell the people who I work with, I still drive a Mazda. You know, I'm not pulling up in the Rolls.
Yeah.
That's the client.
Yeah.
Not us.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
It is a big difference. I tell my guys that all the time, and they get it now because, like I said, they stop into the office, and I actually had my guitar player stop in last week when I was on the phone with the sound company, and he got to hear the conversation about how they charge me. Normally we're 10 pieces and we have an 11th piece. They're charging another crazy amount just to add one person. Or if we're doing ceremony sound and they want someone to sing, the astronomical price they're going to charge for that. So they got to see like, oh, this really does go in several directions. It's not all just going straight into one person's pocket.
Yeah. And then I think, like, you know, let's say you charge, you know, just for number's sake, it's $1,000, and then the singer gets 500, and then the sound person comes to you, oh, you want to plug them in? That's going to be 600. You would have just lost money sending that singer out.
100%.
They don't realize that.
Yep.
And that comes out of your pocket. 100%. No one else.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a lot. I don't even know what to say. It's overwhelming, but at the same time, I do try to keep everybody happy. I try to walk that line to make sure everyone gets paid and everyone's enjoying what they do, but still reaping the benefit of all their hard work.
So right now, what are you on a day-to-day, Bobby Attico, what's the biggest hurdles you are faced with?
Biggest hurdle, I guess, is just keeping up with everyone who wants my time. And I'm big on client relations and just interacting with everyone that is in my world. So I recently hired an assistant, and even letting go of some of those responsibilities have been a problem for me. Because I want to be hands-on and help everyone and make sure it's being executed well. But realistically, I can't do it all by myself. And that's been my biggest issue, letting go.
I caved in 2.5 years ago when I hired Julia, and she's been the best thing that's ever happened to me in terms of that.
And I'm starting to see that now.
It took a while.
Yeah.
When she'd write an email, I'd be like, don't hit send. And then she'd be like, are you out of your mind? You know, and I'm like, she's like, the email's fine. And she'd like check me, and I'd be like, you're right, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And that's what I'm encountering now. My girl is amazing, and she keeps checking things. And even on her first day, she caught a mistake I made, and I'm like, your first day, how'd you catch that? She goes, because I'm smart. Ah. And now I trust her to do so much. And if she hadn't forced me to, it would have never happened.
So what do we have in the pipeline right now? I know there's always.
Just reshot my video for the band. So I think that's going to help in my new, I guess, venture. One thing that I really want to focus on this year is getting more international jobs. So I feel like this video will definitely help bridge that gap.
And then talk to me a little bit more. Like, let's dig a little deeper here, right? So there's got to be some, where'd the motivation come from, right? So obviously, like, background kid, you're growing up. You didn't all of a sudden just say, holy shit, I'm going to hit the gas and go overdrive here. It started somewhere.
Always wanted to sing. As a kid, I remember watching Diana Ross in Central Park, and I saw her singing in the rain and thousands of people around her, and people are crying and they're standing in the rain, and I couldn't understand. I'm like, why are these people in the rain? Like, we always try to go inside when it's raining and they're outside watching her. And my parents were like, she's a singer, and they love her so much that they're just out here to feel her message. And that's when I decided that's what I want to do. As far as the drive, I think it's just something that's in me. I don't know why. There were rough patches in my life. A bunch of people know from seeing, you know, other interviews or just from talking to me that I've been homeless at a certain point in my life. And I think from being homeless and having nothing to getting to where I am, that fire just, it grew even more. I can't risk going back to any type of failure.
Man, homeless. I don't think most people who we work with could ever wrap their heads around that shit.
Yeah. I was living in my car in an abandoned building in Uniondale, Long Island.
Shit.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Wow, 16, 17 years ago. So I was still in, I just started with Hank Lane, and people didn't know what was going on. I hit it well.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
So you're living in your car?
Living in the car.
Living in it?
Yep.
And it probably was not a BMW?
Nope. It was an 87 Oldsmobile.
Shit.
87 Oldsmobile. And I would just, my friends didn't know what was going on. So I would just act like I'm going to visit and be like, oh, while I'm here, let me just take a shower real quick. And that's how I was just bopping around from place to place.
College to where, like, how did that?
After college, family kind of fell apart. They moved to Baltimore, and I knew I wanted to do music, and there's no way I could be successful to the level I wanted to in Baltimore doing music. So I knew I had to stay behind. And around that time, my real car got repossessed. We lost the house, blah, blah, blah. And so the family left and I stayed behind, and I found a $500 Oldsmobile. And
so you're driving to gigs in a $500?
Driving to gigs, yeah. And I'd only have enough money to either pay the bill, my cell phone, pay gas, or buy a mic, wire, and stand, or eat. So I would always push eating off and take care of the business stuff, because I knew as long as I could get to work and get the phone call for work, that I'd be good.
Man, now I know why I'm not the hardest worker in the room. So I'm hearing you talk about this, and I mean, like, I'm trying not to cry because this shit is power. But no, really though, because I don't think, you know, we work in La La Land, let's face it, right? You know, like, you and I were just together this past Saturday. We're at the Pierre Hotel. Money's no object. You know, we're sitting there. It's Wallow the Rappers. You know, it's not right in some respects. You know,
like, but it's amazing because even when I first started, I didn't know this world existed. I thought, oh, that's just TV. That's make-believe. Yeah. That's not real.
Yeah.
But it's real.
I think the cool thing is when I'm in those environments, a lot of people say, you're around some of the wealthiest people in the world. That must bother you. And I'm like, no, it actually inspires me because it shows me what potential there is.
Yep.
You look at it both ways.
100%. I'm never intimidated. I never feel out of place. I just, like you said, it gives me inspiration. I met a gentleman who's one of the biggest real estate developers in New York City or on the East Coast. And when I spoke to him, he said, oh, I grew up in Ozone, Queens. I had nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, you went from Ozone, Queens to this? And he's like, yep.
Yeah.
So like you said, it's just, it's good motivation. It's good inspiration.
I think there's people, I think, you know, whether they're in the wedding industry, not in the wedding industry, you know, we take for granted what we have.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now I know deeper, you know, I knew a little bit of your story, but now I see it. Now it all fits.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I can see why you're working 100 hours a week, you know, and like one of my most inspirational figures in life is The Rock, right? And why not, you know, $4 per hour, whatever, you know, $4, you know? And his work ethic he talks about comes from the fact that he was basically homeless, starving, and there was no choice.
Yep.
So he had to put those, now he still works that way because he's afraid that that might not be there one day.
You know? It's funny, whenever you've been through it, that's your secret driving force. You're afraid to go back to that. So you're just always hustling. Even aside from the music thing, I own the apartment building in Astoria, and I'm just always diversifying because I just know I can never go back to that.
What did it feel like? You know, like, so you're living in this car, you get your chance with Hank Lane. Was it like, fuck this, there's no possible fail? What was the, like, I want to tap in because I think that's the, like, 17 years ago, you're living in your car. You're obviously, I'm assuming, showering in a gym probably if you're living in your
car. Not even friends' houses.
Yep. Your house hopping, sofa hopping.
Yep.
At what point were you like, this will never happen again?
So a friend of mine was also flipping houses in Uniondale. So she'd let me stay in like the abandoned, like gang members would shoot up houses. Yeah, and
people don't know Uniondale 20 years ago. Uniondale was rough. Bad. Hempstead Uniondale was really rough. It's changed a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't even been recently. I just won't even go back there because of the, I guess, the emotional ties or whatever. But I was sleeping in the house and it's not like a nicely furnished house or even a normal empty house. It had leaves, it had tires, it was just a mess. And there was a mattress on the floor and she warned me. She's like, Bobby, people break into the house and shoot it up, do drugs all the time. So, you know, if someone breaks in, I can't guarantee your safety. But I was tired of sleeping in the car. So every once in a while, I would just go sleep in the house. And one particular night, I slept in the house and I heard people break in. It was at least 3 or 4, I heard several voices and I'm upstairs and I hear them and I have a bat next to me. And so I start screaming down the stairs. I don't know who the F it is down there, but if you come up here, you might kill me, but at least I'm taking one of y'all with me. And when I said it, I meant it. And from my background and just who I am, I'm not that type of person to even think that and to mean it. And that's when I realized this is not going to be my life. I'm ready to die, but I'm also ready to take someone with me. That's not who I am. So that's when I realized I'd hit rock bottom and I knew I wasn't going to stay there.
And that was it.
That was it.
Fast forward. That was the day.
That was the day.
That's some crazy shit, bro.
Yep.
And then from there on, it was just
go. Just go. Nonstop go.
No looking back.
Yep.
You still think about that?
Every once in a while, I try not to think about it a lot. I hate telling the story, actually, too, because it just automatically go there emotionally.
It's beautiful, though. I mean that. Like, seriously, I'm listening to it. I'm getting choked up because it's like, man, like, it's so real. Yeah. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, just it's so real. It's so raw and it's so...
It feels almost fake to me now, even thinking about it because of where I am now. And if I didn't see it and feel it when I tell a story, it wouldn't feel like reality.
Now you go to working with Harris, you know, which you live in a car to go to working with Harris. So it had to be a little strange.
Yep.
The first night you're living in the car and you're at the plaza doing $500,000 wedding.
And no one could know.
And no one could know.
I got to keep that smile on my face.
Yeah.
It was a mind trip. But like you said, it was also motivation. Anything can happen. I didn't even know this world existed. And now I'm here. So I know I can go even further if I just work hard. That's all it is. Working hard and doing right by others.
That's why the song, the harder you work, the luckier you get. That's why it's back here, man.
Yeah. And I think it's literally true. The harder you work, the more things just fall into place for you. And especially if you respect the people that you encounter.
I think the people are misguided. You know, like, I know some people come into your band every once in a while and they think that they're going to be the next Bobby overnight. You know, it's like, what do you mean I can't have my own band next week? It's like, wait a second, just fast forward. It's going to take a little time, like 5 years of working with me. And then after 5 years, if you're good enough and you actually show up on every Saturday, because by the way, I work every weekend. I never take one off. I know you're the same way. Yeah. Only take off when you don't have a job. Then maybe we can talk about you getting your own band. And they go, what?
Yeah. People don't, they just see the end result and they don't realize the work that you know, was put into it to get to that level. I have tons of singers and band leaders and everyone, and they're like, oh, I want to do what you're doing. And once they find out the process, but you're doing it now, I'm like, but I didn't start here. I started from nowhere, and I grew with it.
So someone came to me recently that works for me, and they said, you know, I need to make more money. I'm like, all right, cool. Really simple equation in this business. Just work more.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. You want me to give up more weekends? I'm like, I don't want you to give up anything, but you're asking me to make more money. So if you work more, you will make more.
Yeah.
But I want to go on vacation. See, you don't have an income problem. You have a spending problem. Yeah.
You know? And you have a reality issue.
So they go, well, when do you take off? I'm like, well, I've owned my business now since 2001. So 18 years. I have never taken a weekend off that I have not been booked
on.
And they were like, no, that's impossible. I'm like, no. It's the actual truth. Family may not like it. Partner may not like it.
Yep.
May cause some serious stress in the home.
Yep.
Missed a lot of birthday parties, a lot of family functions. Redo them on Sunday morning and I'll come for breakfast. But I have literally never taken a weekend off.
I think it comes from, and I hate to say it because now we sound a little dated, but it comes from that old school mentality. When I first started with Hank Lane, Paul Richards again sat me down and he goes, so if you want this job, your weekends are done. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you don't have birthdays, you don't have parties, you don't have anything. Like, this is what you do on weekends. Most people work 5 days a week. You work 2 to 3 days a week, but this is what we do. There's no calling out unless you're deathly sick. And I've gone to events with laryngitis, with a broken leg, we had walking pneumonia, and I performed on that stage, gave it my all, and passed out literally afterwards. And there was an ambulance there to take me after. That happened once.
And I believe it because the thing that people don't realize is people go, oh, you could just not show up. No. Mm-mm. They paid. They booked their wedding around your presence being there.
Yep.
You don't show up for one job, especially now on social media.
It's over. You're done.
But Bobby wasn't there.
Yep.
He had pneumonia.
No way.
No one cares.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I go no matter what. And it's funny. Clients, they find out now that if I'm sick, I actually perform even better because I snap and my pride won't let me fail. So now it's like, oh, he's on fire tonight. Like, there's a little extra. It's because I'm like, there's no way. I'm going to burn out. As soon as that 4-hour event is over, don't talk to me for 2 to 3 days.
But it's almost the opposite because you know, no matter how sick you are, you only need to perform for 4 hours. And in 4 hours, it's over. But if you kill it for 4 hours, at midnight, 12:01, the Uber's waiting with the IV doctor in the car for you.
Everyone knows, don't talk to me. The next day, I got to heal.
Yeah.
And literally, if I'm not working Sunday, all day Sunday, I'm just on my sofa, Seamless TV, and drifting in and out of sleep.
So you talked about a lot, right? So we got a building and a story we're working on. We got Golden Child Entertainment.
Yep.
We also got Roast on Mondays.
When
I get why you did Monday, but when you did Monday, it's industry night. But we are in the industry, so it's everyone else gets to come. We just work Saturday and Sunday, and I'm like, Bobby's crazy, man. Why would he do this on Monday?
So and you're 100% correct, because as much as I love it, when I go there, I'm having the time of my life. But sometimes getting up to get ready to go, I'm like, I'm not done healing.
Yeah, man.
I gotta go.
Especially if you did a gig Saturday and Sunday.
Or sometimes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm burned out, but I gotta go. And like I said, the preparation for it might be a little, I might be hesitant. But once I get there, music is my life. So as soon as I hear that music, I feel better. I decided to do it on Monday because I used to be a partner in the restaurant.
Okay.
Not a partner any longer. My partners jacked it up, but the hotel, they jacked it up, but the hotel said that was the only successful night that they were having. So they asked me to continue doing it even after I wasn't a partner any longer.
And for those people who haven't seen it, I've been there. It's really cool. You bring a bunch of different musicians, not just wedding centric. It's real musicians
like
from all over the world.
The best singers and musicians in New York or the tri-state area come. It's at the point where even I don't want to sing after hearing some of these people sing, because it's just a whole nother level of locality.
But it's a cool vibe too. People just want to come chill, have a drink.
It's like you're hanging in someone's living room and everyone's just jamming out singing. It's so laid back and chilling. It's amazing.
And that now is another piece?
It's another part of the small empire, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know music and you are one. And I know music is your passion. Music is what you love. Where do you get the inspiration from? Like, I know Michael Jackson, even though we're going to scrap everything else that we know bad about him. Let's strictly as a performer. 100%. I just know from how you perform. Obviously, I think any amazing performer at your level today that grew up has to have some of that influence in their work.
100%. And it's so funny that you picked up on that. He's my number one idol as far as performing. Every time he got on stage, it was just amazing. No matter how old he got, I heard how he would train before a concert. He would literally starve himself so that when he popped and locked, you could see each movement drastically because there was no fat to hide it anymore. So to me, that level of commitment blows my mind. There's no reason for anything less if you're going to do this.
Who else?
Definitely Prince.
Yeah.
James Brown, because I feel like Michael got it from James. Sure. So James Brown. Vocally, Luther Vandross, Whitney Houston. So I have a lot of different inspirations, but as far as performing, Michael, you hit the nail on the head.
So pretend I'm a 21-year-old kid. I just graduated college. Maybe I didn't go to college. Doesn't matter. I want to be Bobby or like Bobby, right? What's the words of advice the grown-up Bobby is giving to that kid right now? How am I getting into the industry? How do I start my own band? What are the steps?
Make sure you're willing to work hard, and not just when people are looking. When people aren't looking, it's even more important. You have to lose yourself on stage. Everyone wants to come and look cute and not sweat. Anyone who's seen me perform, you know I'm dripping with sweat. And to me, that's my badge of honor. It lets me know that I've done everything I possibly could. And a lot of people can't break that wall and let out that inner beast. So if you can't break down that wall, don't even bother.
Because
we have a bunch of mediocre singers out there or performers out there. We don't need any more of that. It's true. If you're going to do it right. Yeah. Take care of the people that help build you up, because as good as I am, I couldn't do it without my team. So you got to appreciate everyone that's playing a part in this machine to get you to where you're going. Also, just, I hate to say it, as cheesy as it sounds, be nice to everyone. Everyone always wants to be, you know, super nice to the banquet manager and the parents of the bride. But no matter which venue I go to, even the bathroom attendant, I sit there and I shake his hand. How's your day? Like, I talk to everyone. I appreciate everyone. And I feel like no one is beneath or above anyone else. So I think that's a really big, to me, it's a big thing.
I think that's beautiful, because I think we take for granted a lot of times what we do and mm-hmm. how we do it. And all the people that aren't as lucky as us, like, bathroom attendant, it's not the nicest job in the world, but it's still part of what goes on.
Yeah. He's still playing a part to make the night function and go off without a hitch. So I just appreciate everyone who's out there making things happen.
So this is a question I ask all my guests.
Oh, boy.
So, you got to give yourself 15 years ago, one piece of advice, one thing you could have changed in business or in your life that you look back on today and you say, this is one thing. What's that one thing?
Don't be afraid to go for what you're worth and what you deserve. Because I think that's been an issue for me. In my humble state of mind, I never really know what I'm worth. And sometimes I want to play it safe rather than, you know, push boundaries. So not all the time, but once in a while, you really need to look in the mirror and see the value of what you're doing and not undersell yourself.
And there's only one year.
Exactly.
You know, I think people, especially sometimes they come in, well, I'm looking at this person. That's cool. They're not me though.
Yep.
So they may be good. It depends what you want.
Yeah.
But they may not be, they may be good, you know?
And I think, again, you hit the nail on the head. Not every client is for me.
Yeah.
I could be way too over the top for certain people. And I get it. I know I'm not for everyone. But for the people who want what I do, there's no one else out there. I hear people are, you know, I was telling you before, people are offering different 5 or 6 additional singers since they can't have me. And it's like, you could throw all the Kias you want at somebody, but it's still not the same as a Mercedes.
And if you want the Mercedes, you got it. It is what it is.
Yep.
So extra isn't just necessarily better.
Exactly.
And I think today too, especially, I mean, we talk about it for a second with Instagram. People think more. Everyone, it's funny. People come in here and they're like, I want more and crazier. I'm like, more and crazier is not necessarily better.
Yeah.
It's just more.
Yeah.
So more of something mediocre
is still more mediocre.
I'm like, that you know, it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways just to have it. And people are like, well, I just want volume sometimes. And I'm like, that's not where it's at. Quality. It's quality over quantity.
Yep.
So a lot of a C-level product, I'd rather have a little bit of an A. 100%. I think, you know, you see that when you go to a fine dining restaurant, there's not a ton of food on the plate because it's quality over quantity.
Exactly.
You know? And I think sometimes the consumer doesn't necessarily understand that. They just want to see a lot of stuff.
Again, you're spot on. spot on.
Man, I want to, you know, be respectful of your time because I know you got a lot of shit going on, Bobby. Because you are all over the place.
I am.
And you're probably going to go perform tonight. I'm looking at my clock.
That's all I was talking about.
Instead of, so anything you want to plug right now, where people can find you, where they can find your bands, give me it all.
You could find me at Bobby Attico on Instagram, BobbyAttiko. Okay. Also Bobby Attico on Facebook. And that's pretty much it.
People want to hire you?
You can call Hank Lane. The number is 212-767-0600. And yeah.
Rose Hill Mondays?
Rose Hill every Monday. So
how do we find out about that?
You could just, it's at the HGU Hotel. It's in the lounge. The address is 34 East 32nd Street. And it's inside the lounge between Park and Madison. Come on down, have a drink, have fun.
Every Monday?
Every Monday around 9:30.
All right, cool. And we'll include all this in the show notes so people can find you.
Appreciate it.
I want to thank you for who you are, man. No, you're the man. I want to thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you for being just who you are, bro. Cheers.
Thank you. Hey, salute.
Thank you so much for listening in. You can find us online at AnthonyVasquezWorkshops.com, as well as on social, on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube at Anthony Vasquez Workshops. We look forward to seeing you there.